As we look at the greatest chapters in the Bible, and they are numerous, there are certain chapters that just are so power-packed that they demand a close scrutiny. And so that's why we're walking verse by verse through Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Now, I want to reiterate what we've already covered so that we all get it. Number one is that change is normal for a Christian. Change is normal for a Christian. Let God transform you by renewing your mind. There is a constant process of change that God is working in us if we are letting him. If we are not changing, something is wrong with our relationship with God. It is either non-existent or we have placed a barrier between ourselves and God that doesn't allow him to do a transforming work in us. Change is normal for a Christian. Number one, that we need to get from Romans chapter 12. Number two, is that this is the truth. You are acceptable, you are valuable, you are forgivable, and you are capable. You need to walk through life seeing yourself as God sees you, and that is that he sees you as acceptable. He has accepted you. He sees you as valuable. He owns you. And so therefore, you are his, and because of that, you are valuable. You are forgivable. No matter what has transpired in your yesterdays, you are so accepted and valuable that you are forgivable. So much so that God throws that sin in the sea of forgetfulness and he remembers it no more, and he places a no fishing sign above it. Because we want to go fishing for all of our mistakes from the past and continue to beat ourselves up over what has transpired in the past and allow what has happened in the past to form our present and to doom our future. God says, I love you so much that you are forgivable and you are capable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the truth. That is the transforming truth that God wants us to have planted in our soul. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. That is his mercy to us. It says that, guess what? You are redeemed. And you are acceptable, you are valuable, you are forgivable, you are capable. That's the truth, that's who you are. See yourself in that light. React to others in that light. Be transformed by letting God renew your mind. Now I've also got on your bulletin page at the very bottom some application tips. And this is a big one that I have it's been driven home to me over and over and over again lately, is that, you know, it is necessary for us to worship so that at least once a week we get it, that we are not in charge of the universe and God is. And we have a God who wants to work in our lives. If there's no other value, that is valuable for us to be reminded of that, because we live in a world that doesn't reflect that. We live in a world that has temptation abounding, and so it's necessary for us to worship. But there's a big gap between Sunday to Sunday. You know, Tuesday night growth night is a way to fill that gap. But there's another way that is so natural and normal for us, and that is, what do we allow to feed our minds during the week? And one of the things, you know, if you drive or you are in a setting where you can listen to the radio, listening to the Christian radio is essential, I believe. Because in song, it fills your mind with the things of God, with Scripture. Most of the Christian music is nothing more than Scripture. And so in a natural way, as you're driving down the street, your mind is being filled with the things of God. It is a wonderful tool of devotion for me. And so I share that with you. 104.9, if I had to designate what the difference is between those two radio stations, the first one really focuses a lot on worship songs. And so, it's a wonderful way of worshiping Him. 101.9 is more contemporary Christian music that is modern music, great music, that is Christ-centered. I mean, there's a lot of great music in the secular world, but truly, start listening to the words. And that's what's filling our mind. And so what we feed ourselves is essential. That's just a P.S. or a caveat or a Doug's ranting or something. So for your edification. Today we're going to focus on verse 3 that says that you can kind of write this at the top, because this is the key. This is the focus. This is the summary. You are not the center of the universe. Write that down. I am not the center of the universe. Write that down. I am not the center of the universe. Verse 3, are you ready? For by the grace given to me. What grace is that, Paul? Well, that's the grace that makes me acceptable, the grace that makes me valuable, the grace that makes me forgivable, the grace that makes me capable. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't go off the deep end. Oh, no. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So he says, on the one hand, you got to let your mind be transformed. You need to own the fact that you are acceptable, valuable, forgivable, capable. That is the truth. But don't go off the deep end with that. You're not the center of the universe. You know, we were made for relationships. That's why God made us. He made us to be in relationship with himself, but he also made us to be in relationship with one another. Relationships are vital. That's why God has a lot to say about qualities that make a great relationship. And this is focusing on a key element to having a successful relationship. And that is that pride needs to be set aside. Pride. We're going to focus on pride. And pride has I in the center. And that is our temptation, to walk through life as if we are the center of the universe. Walk through our marriage as if I am the center of this marriage. Walk through relationships, I am the center of this workplace. I am the center of this church. I am the center of the universe, of everything. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You are valuable. And when we talk about pride, the danger that we fall into is that, you walk in and you say, oh, yeah, pastor says that I got to be a poor worm. I got to squirm out of here and just be prideless. You know, there's a healthy pride that says, hey, guess what? I am acceptable. I am valuable. I am forgivable. And I am capable because of God. Isn't that amazing? That's a healthy pride. A healthy pride is that I am the father of 5 children, and I love them, and I'm proud of them. That's a healthy pride. The destructive pride that he's talking about here is thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. It is putting yourself at the center of the universe. It is arrogant self-worship. It is exalting oneself above everything else. It is self-serving. It is self-seeking. It is self-congratulatory. It is selfish. All the self words, it is. Pride puts ourselves at the center of the universe. And really, that's the way of our culture. That's the way of our, there's no doubt that today in our culture, you know, that I is everything. Do you need some proof? Let me see if you know these phrases. You've got to look out for number. Oh, you know that. Well, where did you hear that? How about this one? You've got to learn to blow your own horn. You know that. Sometimes you've got to beat your own drum. I've got to do what's best for me. My tastes are simple. I simply want the best. It's expensive, but I'm... Oh, we all know the phrases, don't we? Because they swirl through our culture. They set themselves in our soul. Most people today are obsessed with how they look, what they own, what the impression that others have of them, and to try and form that. We talked about that before. But where has all this emphasis on self-promotion in our culture gotten us? Diminished characters. A diminished character collectively in our nation. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. And what shows that is fragmented relationships. You cannot promote yourself. You cannot be the center of your universe and have healthy relationships. And so they're fragmented. Marriage counseling is a booming business today. Why? Because broken relationships are running out of control. And at the root of most relational problems are two things: pride and selfishness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not boast. It is not proud. Why is that? Well, why is pride a problem, Pastor? Well, let's look at the Bible and see what it says. First of all, the Bible says that it provokes arguments. It provokes arguments. And that makes sense, doesn't it? When my ego that is out of control bumps up against your ego, which is out of control, guess what happens? That's dynamite. That's an explosion ready to happen. When I'm full of pride, I resent nothing more than your pride. Because you try to encroach on my center of the universe. Muhammad Ali, flying on a jet, gets on, sits down. This was in his prime. He sits down and the flight attendant, they were stewardesses then, the flight attendant comes up and says, Mr. Ali, would you please buckle up your seatbelt? And he says, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she says, well, Superman don't need no plane either. Buckle up. It's pretty sharp. Putting him in his place, huh? Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. When you're out there bragging, when you're out there boasting, it doesn't impress other people. You know, your goal is to make them jealous. And the person who has the right to boast doesn't need to. Greatness is his own advertisement. I don't need to go around blowing my own horn. Gregory Peck, an old actor, one of the greatest, you know, in his day, He had made his first few movies. He went to a restaurant with a friend, and the restaurant was full, and they said that he'd have to wait. And so his friend said to him, he says, hey, why don't you tell them who you are? And his answer was classic, because he says, if I have to tell them who I am, then I ain't. You know, unless they recognize me and know me, then I ain't that. If you go out and promote yourself, you're trying to promote something you really aren't. Greatness doesn't need advertisement. The problem is, when we brag, it causes the exact opposite effect that it's intended to. We brag to make people impressed with us. And when we do, people are annoyed with us. It's like, what an insecure jerk. That's what they're saying in their mind. It never works. Humility, being open, being honest, being transparent. Now that works. Lamar Slay's dad was a pastor in this small town. And his son found that he could get certain privileges if he let everybody know that he was Pastor Slay's son. And so everywhere he went, he would say, I'm Pastor Slay's son. And he would get candy, and he would get special things in the stores, you know, and he was loving that until his mom saw that he was doing that. And she said, don't tell people that you're Pastor Slay's son. Just say, I'm Lamar Slay. Just tell them who you are. I'm Lamar Slay. And so a few days later, a guy asked Lamar, he said, aren't you Pastor Slay's son? And he responded, he said, well, I thought I was, but mom says I'm not. Okay, that backfired, didn't it? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13, says, pride only breeds quarrels. And you could probably find a good example in your own life just in the last week of that, rearing its ugly head, that pride breeds quarrels. So it causes arguments, but secondly, the Bible says this, is that pride prevents intimacy. Don't think more highly as you ought, because why? Because that gets in the way of you having a full and rich relationship with another person. You can't get close to prideful people. You just can't. Because they've got, they build walls around themselves. You know, a lady that I was counseling years ago said, I've been married to this man for 28 years. And I don't know who he is. I don't know what he thinks. I don't know, what gives him joy. How can you live with somebody for 28 years and not know who they are because of the walls that pride builds around the person? And fear of rejection is really kind of mostly fueling pride. That's the real issue. If you knew the real me, then you wouldn't love me. If you knew what I was really thinking, then you wouldn't accept me. If you knew my past, you really wouldn't want to be with me. Those are the thoughts of Satan that builds the walls of pride around you. We hide our faults, our fears, our feelings. We put up a big front with PR releases. We play ego games with people to keep them at a distance so they won't get close. My pride causes me to be aloof, superficial, even in my marriage. Here's what 1 John says. It says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the dark, we lie and don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we will have fellowship, intimacy with one another. Don't hide in the dark. Bring it into the light. That's when you can have a true and real relationship with one another. How many of you have ever wallpapered? Years ago, when it was the rage, and it was the rage, I was wallpapering everything I could see. If there was a bare wall, I wanted wallpaper on it. And then almost wanted to sell the house rather than get rid of the wallpaper. But, when I first did wallpapering, we didn't have videos, on YouTube then. And, I read a little bit about how to do it, and then I do it, I get done. And, of course, everything I do late at night. So it's like 1 o'clock when I finish, and I take a look at the wall, and I think, man, that looks sweet. Next morning I get up, you know, and of course now the sun is shining in through our patio door windows and brilliantly illuminating my new wallpaper, bubbles all over the place. And so therefore the only time that I looked at that wall was at 1 o'clock in the morning. Every other time I just go like this as I walk through the room. You know, everything looks good in the dark. It's only when it's exposed to the light that you see all the frailties and the foibles and the faults. And that's okay, because that's the truth. And that's what God wants, is for us to live in the light. And as long as we are prideful, as long as we have us at the center, as long as we are trying to build a wall around ourselves, we're walking in the dark. And nobody can see light in our lives. Pride causes that. Thirdly, the Bible says this, is that pride postpones healing. Listen to this, folks. Pride postpones healing. When there is a broken relationship, pride prevents that relationship from healing. How many of you in your family, I hear over and over again about relatives, sisters, brothers, parents who do not talk and haven't talked for years with somebody else in their family? There's been a brokenness that has not been healed, and I would be willing to bet a lot of money that pride is at the center of that. Because pride prevents healing from taking place in people's lives. It's my pride that doesn't want to break down and say, I was wrong. Mark Twain said, temper gets us into trouble, but pride keeps us there. Isn't that true? You know, something happens and there's a brokenness in the relationship, and my pride puts me in cement, and I will not move. I will not say that I'm sorry. I will not. My mother and father, as I was growing up, at least I don't remember. And at the time, I made a vow. I don't remember my parents ever saying, I'm sorry to me for anything. And it was such a, you know, I wanted to hear it so badly that it was a commitment when I had children that I was going to tell them I was sorry when I was wrong. You know, I mean, it was a commitment that I had, because they need to hear that. My wife needs to hear that. My church needs to hear that. You know, my friends need to hear that. I'm sorry. And it's only pride that keeps us from doing that. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his sins doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, one of the big movies in 1970, some of you weren't even thought of in 1970, in 1970, the biggest movie was Love Story. Those of you in my age category know Love Story. La da 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 da. It was a love story. And you know what powerful advice came out of Love Story? Love means never having to say you're sorry. That's what she said to him when he said, I'm sorry. And then he reiterated to his dad when his dad said, I'm sorry. Love means never having to say you're sorry. That is baloney. I I've never heard something so stupid in my life. Pride means never having to say you're sorry. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Isn't that sweet? And so a lot of people have really instituted that little piece of cultural advice. You know, because they walk through life never say they're sorry. The fact of the matter is, love means having the strength and the love to be able to say, I'm sorry. Because all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. You do know that, right? Love means recognizing the fact that I am sinful and fall short of the glory of God. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect with my kids. I'm not perfect with my spouse. I'm not perfect with my coworkers. I'm not perfect, period. So if I ain't perfect, then there are times when I need to say, hey, I get that I'm not perfect. I'm sorry. I said that and I shouldn't have. I made that choice and I shouldn't have. And I'm sorry. So, pride is not a good thing. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Why? Because it causes arguments. It breeds quarrels. It gets in the way of relationships. Get rid of that notion that you are the center of the universe. Well, what is the solution? What do you do? Here's what you do. I'll just give you three little steps you can take. Number one, admit your imperfection. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. Just admit it. It's not the, you know, some people feel like, you know, if they admit they're wrong, then somehow that diminishes who they are. You know, it only strengthens who you are. You know, to say that I'm going to be open and honest enough with you to say I blew it and I'm sorry. That's all. Admit your imperfections. You know, it says in Romans 12, it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Don't think more highly of yourself. And this is right on the heels of saying, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. What that means is see yourself as God sees you, as acceptable, as valuable, as forgivable, as capable. All of us have strengths and weaknesses. You know, it's kind of a balancing, you know, the fact that you are acceptable, valuable, forgivable, and capable with all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. They're like two wings on a plane. You know, if one is more prominent than the other, the plane goes down. Either way, it needs a balance to say, I'm not a poor worm. God has made me. He loves me. But by the same token, I sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so therefore, I'm going to admit who I am and know and have confidence in the fact that you're going to accept me and love me and truly, that only endears you to people, you know, to actually admit that you're human. There was a congressman that he had just won an election. He went into his new office on Capitol Hill. The only thing that was in his office was a phone and a desk. He sat down, and a few minutes later, he saw what he assumed was a reporter, you know, walk into the room, and so he wanted to appear important, you know, so he picks up the phone, and he says, I better look busy. So he picks up the phone. And he starts his conversation. Yes, Mr. President, I'm glad that you're able to use my plan for that Afghanistan initiative. Thank you. I knew it would work. I'm just filled with a lot of thanksgiving that you did it. Now, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, what else can I do for you? Yeah, yes, sir. And then he hangs up. And he says to the man, he says, now, what can I do for you? And the man replied, I'm just here to install your phone. Very impressive. He's talking to the president. What a moron. Pride gets us to do really wonderful things. Being authentic is being real with other people. You know, being in, you know, that's what impresses people, is being authentic. Boasting and having yourself at the center of the universe turns people off. It shuns them. Somebody who is transparent, open, genuine, lays his chips on the table. You know, what you see is what you get. That kind of authenticity is wonderful and attracts people. It builds relationships, not erodes them. Secondly, recognize God's grace. And that means that I have nothing if it weren't for God. I am nothing if it weren't for God. I am acceptable. I am valuable. I am forgivable. I am capable. But it ain't because of me. It's because of what God is working in me. He gets the praise. He gets the glory. I want to recognize God's grace. Here's what 1 Corinthians 4 says. It says, what are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? If all you have is from God, why act as though you've accomplished something on your own? Isn't that true? Somebody who says that I'm a self-made man worships their maker. I'll let that sink in. Everything you have is a gift from God. I earned this money. I earned this position. Did you? Did you really? You know, who gave you your mind? Who gave you your hands? Who gave you your intelligence? Who gave you your life? Who gave you your parents? Who gave you the opportunity of being born in America? Who gave you all that? Maybe that's God. He gets the praise and the glory, and that takes you out of the center of the universe and puts God there where he belongs. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything that we have, everything that we're able to do is a gift from God to us. Recognize God's grace, and thirdly, experience God's unconditional love. How is that an antidote to praise or to pride? Truckers tell us that empty trucks make the most noise on the freeway. A drum makes noise because it's hollow inside. If you filled the drum with a blanket, it won't make as much noise. Something that's empty makes a lot of noise. A vain person, a person who has themselves at the center of the universe, they are empty at the core of the center of their lives. They feel like they need to make a lot of noise to boast and brag, but they're empty on the inside. And that emptiness can only be filled by Jesus. By Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3. And may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep God's love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When you are filled with God's love, when that emptiness is filled with God's love, you experience unconditional love for the first time. We live in a world that likes to talk about love, but it's very conditional. That's why there are so many broken relationships, so many broken marriages, is we live in a world with conditions on our love for one another. So when we come face to face with God and we experience his unconditional love, it's mind-boggling. Now, a lot of you may never have experienced God's love. You may know about God's love. You may know about the wonder and the magnitude of the cross. You may know some things about God, but have you experienced his love? Have you allowed his love to seep into your soul and for your relationship with God to be a relationship of intimacy? where you sense deep in your soul that every single detail of my life, every motive, every thought I've ever thought, every action that I'm ashamed of, God loves me in spite of all of that. And I've filled my mind and my soul with the things that are of God, and I allow Him to touch me. Have you allowed God to touch you? Romans 5 said, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, God loves us. You know, it's not that when I get my act together and come before God, then He says, okay, now I'll love you. God loved me even when I was broken, wandering, when I didn't even know I needed to seek, when all I knew is that I had brokenness in my life that I didn't understand, and it was forming me in ways that I didn't like, even myself. Is while I was in that state that God still loved me. God still loves you. Have you allowed yourself to experience that love? To have Him touch you and heal you? Pride gets in the way of that happening. I can handle life on my own. That's a prideful statement. Things need to be my way or I'm going to be upset. That's a prideful statement. Prideful posture. And pride prevents relationships with God as well as with one another. And pride is a serious deal. You do know that Lucifer got kicked out of heaven because of pride. Pride. That's why Paul is so strong in saying, you know, that guess what? What you need to do is let God transform you by renewing your mind. Then you know what God's will is. But then he follows it up immediately. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. With sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. With sober judgment, see yourself accurately, but you're not the center of the universe. God is. And you're meant to love Him and to love one another. That's why God planted you on this earth. That's why God has given you what He's given you. That's why God has placed you with who He's placed you with. Now get with it. Get with it. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are for Your word. And today, Lord, I would lead us in a prayer that says, Lord, you know, help us to accept our humanity, to admit it, that we're not perfect and that we never will be and that we have faults and failures and each of us have things that we're ashamed of. And Lord, I've sinned against others and I've sinned against You and I admit it. I don't have a clear conscience and I ask You to forgive me. I admit that I need forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we would each take that first step to admit our weakness and that we would take the second step and say, God, we want to recognize Your grace, to be so grateful for what we already do have that's from You, that even life, our very own lives, we owe to You. That we would have nothing if it weren't for You. I really have nothing to brag about because You've been so gracious to me. Even the things, Lord, that I worked for and earned is because You gave me the energy and intelligence to do it. And then, Lord, I pray that we would take the third step to say, I want to experience Your unconditional love today. Father, help me feel Your love. Could be what you do, church, is you take a deep breath and let it out and say, I want to feel Your love today, Lord, and to realize that You love me now as much as You ever will. I don't have to earn it. You love me, the good and the bad. Jesus, come into my heart. If you've never said that, I ask you to say that now. Come into my heart today and fill me with your love. Take ego off the throne, and I put you, Lord, on it. I want you to be in charge of my life. Fill me with so much love that it overflows, and I've got love to love the people around me, to give it away. As much as I know how, Lord, I ask you to come into my life and to fill me with your love. Come into each of our lives, Lord. Make yourself known. Fill our hearts to abundance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.